I think what would be pleasing to the Lord, because everybody here, one way or another, you're headed towards ministry. You do know that. Now, you may not be in the fivefold. You may or may not. I have no idea. But the body of Christ is one body made up of many parts. And one of the things that... See, I look at my body, you know. I mean, like I don't look at my body too hard. You know, how did my 18-year-old brain get trapped in here? I don't know how that happened. But when I think about my own body and all of the parts, you know, I mean, the voice, it has a certain need, it has a certain function. My ears have a certain function, my nose. But then there's all those other parts, you know. I'm sure my kidneys are not real attractive, but I need my kidneys. And I'm glad my kidneys work. I'm glad my liver works, you know. Glory to God. I don't want to, I don't want anybody looking at it, but I'm glad it works, you know. Well, the body of Christ, we're called the body of Christ, and every part has its role. And this conference that we went to up at Jim Martin's and Jim and Kathy Martin up in Dayton, Ohio, what he's trying to do there, what he is doing, is like the Northeast Conference. You know, we have our prayer and power conference here in October, but it's difficult for people that way up in New York and Virginia and other places to come all this way. So we're having this, what he calls the Northeast Conference there in Dayton, Ohio. We had people all over from Chicago came down, and New York people came down, Virginia people came, and you know. But we had people from England, glory to God. We had Hong Kong. I don't guess it matters much if you're coming from Hong Kong, whether it's Ohio or Oklahoma. But one of the things that really impressed me about this conference was watching how all the different parts of the body function together. It was very much family. It was very much a body. I got absolutely no sense of any competition between anybody. It seemed like all the parts of the body just really functioned well. So let me just go ahead and I'm going to start off like this. Sunday morning, the first service, Jim Martin normally teaches that. Most of the morning services, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I usually teach those. You know, Jim and I, we haven't talked hardly at all. I wish I had time to listen to everything Jim teaches and Bronk teaches and everybody teaches, you know, but we're too busy to do that. So I don't know what he's been teaching. He doesn't know what I've been teaching. So we get up there, and I have a pretty good understanding this time of what the Lord's going to have me minister during the week. I kind of know what's coming. I don't know the exact, I don't have any outlines or anything, but I kind of know what's coming. And I say, well, it's going to be interesting to see what Jim teaches on. I'm telling you, I was stunned. It was like, I mean, anybody would think that we had choreographed that. His message was the perfect foundation. It was the perfect introductory message for everything I was going to say all week long. It was as if we had collaborated ahead of time and shared notes. And it's just the same kind of thing that happens here. Dave says it happens all the time. Whoever comes out at 8:30, he just watches them as they go through every marker in his Bible, you know, and he says, they took my message, so he just ministers. But it was the perfect, perfect message. And so Jim and I talked about it later. And once he saw what I was teaching during the week, then he was more impressed as the week went on. I told him, but he's going, wow. So he shared this with me. He says, well, actually, I got that message about 2 months ago, and I thought it was really good. And so in my mind, I was just kind of sitting on it for about 2 months. I was going to share it at conference. And come to find out, it was the timing of the Lord the whole time. So, you know, Sunday just started off great. And Sunday night, Dave ministered. You know, there's just nobody like Dave. I mean, if anything, he's more free on the road than he is here. And he's pretty free here, you know. Man, I mean, he just, you know, and words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And let me mention this, too, because there was handoffs all during the week of ministry. But it was just like a flow of the Spirit. There was no sense. I never got any sense of competition or one-upmanship. It was like every part of the body was doing what that part of the body is supposed to do. And God honored it. I mean, that his presence would come no matter who was doing the worship. It would come, you know. Well, then we started Monday morning. I did the Monday morning service. I don't know if you all know this. Jim Martin has a Bible college. You do know it's Dr. Jim Martin, right? Dr. Jim Martin. Well, God told him to go ahead and get his doctorate, and part of the reason, and it's important to obey God. I thank God he never told me that. Thank you, Jesus. I have no interest in getting a doctorate, and unless God wants me to, I sure don't want to. But he wanted Jim to do it. Why? Because part of the, because of that, because he has that doctorate, it was part of being able to get that Bible college accredited. It's accredited in the state of Ohio. And he offers his Bible college online. Well, come to find out, there's a prison in London, Ohio, not England, London, Ohio, which is about a little over an hour drive from Dayton. And come to find out, this is an old prison. When you walk up, go in the front door on the landing there, etched into it, it says 1924. And it was built with prison labor. This is an old prison, and it's a maximum security prison. But he has like 12 students in that prison. They let him do stuff online, and he has 12 students there. So when some of those students found out that this conference was going to happen and that Dave was going to be there and I was going to be there, well, they went to their chaplain in the prison and asked, would you contact Jim Martin and see if there's any way we could have at least one service here? Now, I've had a lot of experience with prison chaplains. Some of them are saved. Some of them are not saved. Some of them are saved and not very led by the Spirit. Let me just say it that way. This is a really good chaplain. This one, he's got the love of God for his prisoners. He listens to the Lord. And so he contacted Jim, and sure enough, we got it all worked out. So the way Monday worked, we did the morning service, and then we had to have a quick lunch. You guys that aspire for ministry and thinking about, you know, we're going to stay at the five-star hotel and the Four Seasons, you know. No, on the way to the prison, you swing by Burger King. you grab, for Dave, you get a strawberry shake. You know, Dave wanted a strawberry shake, you know, and then you get a fish sandwich, whatever it is you like, and you eat that on the way, you know, and so that's on the way to that. Oh, I got to tell you what happened, though. Even though Jim had this all worked out, see, the devil, he never quits, does he? He never gives up. Jim, the last thing he did before we left the church to head for the prison, Jim contacted the prison to verify with the chaplain. Now, everything's still on. We're fixing to head that way. And the person that answered the phone, this was the answer. The person on the other end at the prison says, we don't have any chaplains on duty today. There's no way you can get in. Isn't that just like the devil? You know, and just for a moment, Jim's kind of stunned, you know. And said, well, listen to this message, you know. So we all just real quickly said, let's go anyway. All of us, you know, wasn't all four of us said, hey, let's go anyway. Worst that could happen, we can go there and pray for a while, come back, you know. Well, we drive on up there. We stop at Burger King. We drive on up there. We get there. Waiting at the front door is the chaplain. Waiting at the front door. He says, well, I said, you know, so Jim says, well, when I called, they said that they don't have any chaplain on duty today. He says, well, I'm not really on duty today, but I come in special for this. They just didn't know I was coming. Now, this is a real prison. You got to leave your cell phone. You got to leave your knife. You got to leave your keys. You got to leave your coins. I mean, you know, take your belt off. It's like going through the airport thing, you know, and go through the x-ray machine. They got to stamp your hand, you know, and you get in there and you hear the gate close behind you. You know you're coming out in a few hours, you know, and still it's spooky. Now we go in there and the chaplain's kind of leading us, and we go through a maze of hallways. Then you got to cross the open area. There's basketball goals and they exercise out there and different things. It's just out open to the sky. And there's a whole lot of prisoners there. And we're walking across, and I notice one of them has Dave's book. Yeah. He has Dave's book, and he's got that book, and he's looking at us, and he's over on the back, you know. And he's going, that's him right there. You know, that picture of Dave is getting a little dated on that book, but he still recognized Dave, you know. Well, anyway, we get on in there, and there's about, I'm going to say 70, 75 prisoners that's come for this service. And the first thing they wanted to do, they wanted to sing. They wanted to sing a couple of hymns, So they have a group there. There's five guys. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I see five. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six guys. One of them played guitar. One of them played piano. And all of them sing. So we're sitting there, and I don't know what to expect. I'm telling you, those guys started. That harmony was so good. I mean, I probably shouldn't say it this way, but you'll know what I mean when I do say it. They weren't just good. They were Vegas good. I mean, these guys, they could perform now. I mean, oh, my goodness. That harmony that they had and singing these old good songs, man. I mean, the goosebumps just run up and down my arm. They sang two songs, and both of them was just great. And I was going, is anybody recording this? Do y'all, you know, I would buy your CD right now. And Jim was already talking to the chaplain. He's going, is there any way I can take these guys to the conference? He said, man, they'd bless everybody. They'd bring the house down. And no, they're not going to the conference. No, you know. Well, anyway, because Jim is the primary reason this was even happening, Jim, he just spoke for like not even 5 minutes because he's local. And the main thing was to establish a relationship with the chaplain there, I can tell Jim's going to be there a lot more now. Then Jim wanted me to speak. I kind of just gave a testimony of what all Pastor Dave has meant to me and Sue and how the ministry of Dave Roberson just basically rescued us. I mean, Jesus is our Savior, but he used Dave to help save us. I mean, help rescue us is what I mean. So I only spoke about 10 minutes, and here comes Dave. Dave don't know the difference between church and prison. I'm telling you, he's just the same. It doesn't matter. And he just starts off like he was sitting in front of a congregation of everybody all, you know, and just the love of God just flowing out of the man, just exactly the same as I've seen it here and as I've seen it other places. And it wasn't very long into it, you know, and here come the tongues and here comes the miracles. He starts calling people out and praying for them, doing that, splat, you know, and boy, the prisoners are getting interested now. You know, they're all kind of leaning forward in their seats and other miracles are happening. Oh, just so many things I would forget to tell them all. And we were supposed to be out of there, I mean, out of the prison, outside the walls by 3 p.m. Now the service is still going on at 3 p.m. Everybody can tell God's moving, and they're letting us stay, you know. We didn't get out of there until, I don't know, it's almost 4 o'clock, I think. So Dave, he gives an altar call. Sure enough, several people get saved. I think 4 of them got saved. Then he says, now how many wants to get filled with the Holy Ghost? I counted. You know me, I count. You know, there's 15 got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I don't know how many miracles, how many healings happened, you know. And it was, you know, so if we get out. Oh, and I got to tell you this. We met a man. Now, when Jim tried to tell us, it was so emotional for him. He had a hard time telling this. He was the one that actually met the man. This man is a lifer. He's never going to get out of that prison. I don't know what he did, but he's a lifer. He's got a life term, no possibility of parole. But he got Dave's book about 4 years ago. He was already saved, I think, and I don't know whether he was spirit-filled or not, but he is now. But he was telling Jim, he said, I got this book 4 years ago, and I mean, it just meant so much to me. It just completely turned my life around when I began praying in the Spirit, like it tells in this book. I just began doing what's in this book, and it just completely changed my life. He says, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, this is 4 years, 4 years before this event. I prayed to the Lord one day. I said, Lord, is there any way possible that I could ever meet this Dave Roberson? And he says, after I prayed it, I thought, well, that's foolish. I'm here for life, and there's not any way that I'll ever meet him. But his prayer was just kind of, Lord, if there's any way possible, I sure would like to meet that man. God heard that prayer. God, you know, it says he's got your tears in a bottle. He's got your prayers. He doesn't forget those prayers, you know. And I'm convinced, and Jim is convinced, that from that instant, God started working all things together for good, all the different things that would have to happen so that the day would come when not only would he meet Dave Roberson, but Dave would lay hands on him and pray. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And really, Jim was saying it's really probably because of the prayers of that man. I said, even the Bible college making it free, all of those things had to happen. If the Bible college wasn't free, it wouldn't have happened. If he had never started the Bible college, it wouldn't have happened. But all those things, that's really what Romans 8, 26, 27, 28 is talking about. When you allow the Holy Spirit to make that intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. When you finally yield and say, you're smarter than I am. You know the plan better than I do. I don't even know what to pray as I ought. Please, I'm just going to allow myself. Here, have my tongue. Have my tongue. You pray. And boy, when we let him do that, that's when all things are working together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But isn't that something that God would hear the prayer of a lifer in prison? And the day would come about 4 years later where Dave Roberson would walk through the doors of that place. Come on. Just give him glory. I think, that's just too good. That's just too good. But I don't want to leave out all the other parts. There were people ministry. One couple at the church took it upon themselves to offer to feed anybody that wanted to come to their house after every service. And about 20 or so of them did every time. And they weren't funded by the church. They're just believing God, you know. And hey, you know, there's no offerings or anything, but just God provide. Take it upon yourself to feed about 20 people every day for 6 days. Now see, that's part of the body working together. There was other people that worked, and I don't know whether they were assigned to do it or not, but there were people even out in the parking lot helping people park, and if they needed special assistance, making sure they had it. And just the whole body working together. And I'm going to tell you this too. Whether you're ministering at a conference or you're just attending the conference, fellowship with those people is just as much ministry as anything else that happens. I mean, just to go and just love on somebody you may say one thing that'll change their life forever. God doesn't have you here all these years for nothing. Man, you're full of God's wisdom, whether you know it or not. You're full of the knowledge of God. And it's good. Just grab somebody, take them to lunch, do something, you know. But it was so good watching all the different parts of the body working together. I mean, Jim doesn't teach like me. I don't teach like Jim, and nobody ministers like Dave. But there was every service, God's presence was there. God accomplished what he wanted without any competition whatsoever. But just watching everything just flow together, and it was just amazing. I mean, all kinds of miracles. Time would fail me to tell you about the backs that were healed and the lives that were changed and kidneys. And I don't remember just so many you lose track. People filled with the Holy Ghost. On and on and on it went. It was just wonderful. Now, most people didn't know it, but see, Dave, at the end of the week, Dave flew back on Saturday. But Sue and I, we had a meeting, we drove, and we had a meeting on the way back in Mattoon, Illinois. How many of you ever heard of Mattoon? That's what I thought. Mattoon, it's not very big. It's about 30 miles north of Effingham. But we had people there that has been partners with us for about 10 years. And when they saw that we were going to Dayton, and they knew we were driving, one of them called me and said, well, hey, you know, either going or coming back, is there any way that you and Sue could come by Mattoon, Illinois, and do a service here? In the way he put it, says, we need some revelation knowledge up here. So I said, sure, you know. So they had a service scheduled in Mattoon, Illinois on Sunday night. I asked who the pastor was, and he said, well, we don't really have a pastor. We have a worship leader. I guess he would be the leader, kind of. So I'll be honest with you. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of a house group or something. I'm thinking there might be 25 people there. And hey, I've drove all the way across the country to preach to less people than that before. So doesn't matter to me as long as it's God. Well, we got there and come to find out it's a nice little church building. I mean, it probably seats about 100 people. If it's really full, it'd seat about 100. Cutest little church you ever saw. Looks like a little country church. Got a steeple on it and everything, you know. And man, I'm telling you, when the worship started in there. Oh, before the worship, we... Did they feed us fried chicken? Oh, God, I feel the anointing right now, brother. Fried chicken, potato salad, coleslaw, and baked beans. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, we had fellowship at one of the houses, and it was just great. And I got to meet a lot of the family. It's family, see? It's family. And, man, we got to eat that and then go over to the church. And when they started, they rocked that little church. I mean, they had pianos in there and drums and guitars. And I mean, it's not your grandma's. This place is thumping. They can hear it up and down the street here, I'm sure. That little old church is a thumping. And so I'm thinking, Richard needs to sing. I said, Richard, and Hazel got up and testified. See, most, I don't know how many of you guys, do y'all know, does everyone in here know that Richard has been raised from the dead? He sure was. That cute little wife right there at Hazel, she just wouldn't let him go. Kept calling him back till he came back. Hallelujah. So, she testified a little bit. I think he gave the testimony. Richard, come on up here. You're going to have to do what you did there. If you don't mind, I just see you doing that again. Man, the place, that the atmosphere had already been charged through the worship. Yeah, give Richard a hand as he comes up. The atmosphere had already been charged by the worship. And so then Richard comes up and gives his own testimony about being raised from the dead. And then he does this.
Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And the song goes something like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light, and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Oh, Lord, Lord Jesus. In the time of trouble. You ever been in trouble? He will hide me. In the time of trouble, he will hide me. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his seek. In his secret place. How many of you know that God can hide you? In the time of trouble. Sometimes you might have a little trouble on this Christian walk. He will hide me. In the time of trouble. I know y'all been through trouble. But he will hide you. In the time of trouble, he will hide me. He will keep me in a secret place. And you know, sometimes when you're on this journey, you know what you got to do? You have to do this. Look to the hills, from whence cometh all of our help. Look to the hills, from whence cometh all of our help. I believe I look to the hills, from whence cometh all of our help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you know what? This is another thing you got to do. Sometimes when you're asking God for something and it seems like you're not getting it all right then and there, I can just imagine now, I can see that the Holy Ghost is saying, this is what you need to do. You need to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You've got to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen. He will strengthen your heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. All you got to do is just wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You've got to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen. He'll strengthen your heart. And you see, we go here at the prayer center. You know what we have to do. You're just not just waiting. You're just not sitting in that chair not doing anything. The Lord teaches us how to do it. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to fast. He teaches us how to send the word. Hallelujah. Worship. That's what we got to continue to do. We continue to do that. He will strengthen. He'll strengthen your heart.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, when he sang up there, you felt that presence, right? I felt like giving an altar call right then, but I still had to teach. Now, Sue, she got, you know how I do. I said, how many of you, do y'all like to be blessed? Yes, we like to be blessed. I think your eyes need a blessing. So I'm just going to introduce Sue like I always do, and let them see how pretty she is. And did the preach come on my wife? Glory to God. It just kept coming like a river coming out of her, just teaching away. I wanted to sneak over and let her just keep having the service, and she didn't let me do that, but. I mean, it was good. Then, the Lord didn't say, we only had one night. Well, if you only got one night, the Holy Ghost already knew what to do. What they need is more of the Holy Ghost. So I'm teaching. I mean, I don't have time to build no relationship with these folks. Wham, we're going right for Holy Ghost baptism, speaking in other tongues, and this is what you need. And I made some... I was doing good enough that a few people got up and left. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Smith Wigglesworth said you haven't done anything unless you make them mad, sad, or glad. I think we had all three of those in there. And bless their hearts, there was a time I'd have walked out on that service myself. I remember when I had such questions, I'd have walked out on that. So, no harm. But anyway, I taught for about an hour and 15 minutes. Gave an altar call, which is not normal for me, because it's usually people that are already saved. Sure enough, though, got one saved out of that little group right there. Then asked for how many wants to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Had four come forward, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. We prayed for several people, mostly by proxy for healings and things. But man, that was a good service. We had a really good time. Now, for all you married men, I'm going to share some wisdom with you. Now, if you got a godly wife, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, Sue is a good wife. I found out Hazel is a good wife to Richard. I found out on this trip. It's funny. You can go to church with somebody for 15 years and you just go, hi, how you doing? I know more about Richard and Hazel now after this one weekend than I have in 13, 14 years. We had a good time. But I'm telling you, now if you've got a good wife, see, when you're going to the meeting, there's a time pressure. You got to get there. They expect you to preach. And Sue, I'm just telling you now, she don't like fast food. I like fast food. You know, I mean, I do fine at Hardee's and Taco Bell. Oh, so does Pastor Dave, by the way. It was my privilege to shuttle him back and forth from the hotel to the services, you know. And now sometimes we'd go eat, but then sometimes he just wanted to come back and just get something, you know. And I was telling him the whole town, he can have anything you want. I'll stop anywhere and get anything for you. He said, well, what all do they have? I start going down the list. They got this, that, this, that. And I mentioned Taco Bell, and he went, they have Taco Bell? You reckon they have those 99-cent bean burritos? He says, I need two 99-cent bean burritos and a strawberry shake. Big spender, your pastor. I'm telling you right now. You're about $3 and you're done. So, but Sue, on the way there, bless her heart, she ate the fast food because at the time we were under time pressure. But see, I promised. And plus, we drove right by it. I swear to God we did. We drove right by it. It said on the building, Phillipsburg, Missouri, it says in big letters, the largest gift shop in the world. And Sue goes, and I'm going, baby, on the way back, I promise, on the way back. Now, we don't have time. We just don't have that much time going, but I promise you on the way back. Now, men, if you give your word, you promise your wife, you do it. See, on the way back, did we eat at Taco Bell? No. We eat at Ruby Tuesdays. Cause that's where Sue likes to eat. We eat at a Golden Corral. You know, she likes to have sit-down meals. And when we got to Phillipsburg, Missouri, bless God, we pulled in there. And she spent an hour and a half. That really, you've got that gift shop, and right next to it is a candy factory. Not just the candy shop. You can watch them make this stuff, you know. So she spent an hour and a half in the gift shop. She looked at everything in there, and she didn't buy a single thing. Hour and a half. She said, are you impressed? I said, honey, I'm beyond impressed. I had never seen nothing like that. But now we went to the candy shop, and she did buy some assorted taffies and stuff like that, you know. But see, men, that's important. God did not give your wife for no reason. If you was both alike, one of you'd be unnecessary. My wife has gifts I do not have. And it's taken me years of, at my own peril, ignoring the wisdom that comes through my wife. I've told y'all before, is anyone here not ever hear about that tax story? Come on, have you not heard it? Let me tell you. There's nothing better that illustrates this. Listen, I have my gifts. I mean, God uses me in a certain way. You know, I have strengths that Sue needs. Sue has strengths and really gifts that I need. Men tend to be all logic. Women don't tend to be that way. Okay? Years ago, when we were first starting out in ministry, and the ministry just after a year or two got big enough where we had to have an accountant handle our stuff. Some friends of ours recommended an accountant to us, and I went down, and they had used her, and she was a fine lady, been in that tax business for like 30 years, and had done it for lots of churches, you know. And we went down there, and I mean, I thought I liked her a lot, and I thought, sure, that we'll hire you, you know. And we're pulling away from there, and Sue says, "Don't hire that lady." Now, see, being a man and being stupid, then. What I wanted is logic. My question is why? See, she wasn't listening to no logic. She was listening to God. She says, I can't tell you why. I'm just telling you don't hire. Well, my logic, I bless God I'm the head of the house, you know. Uh-oh. But it does say Christ is the head of the man is the head of the wife is, you know, anyway. It says all that. You know, ultimately the decision is mine. And if Sue was here, she'd tell you that. But God didn't, I've learned over these years, God did not give me my wife not to listen to her. and not to receive that into the equation. Well, I didn't listen. I just went ahead and hired the lady, and everything was fine for the first few years. Now, I think the numbers have changed now, but what happened, she did have lots of experience with churches, but they were all little country churches with small little budgets. At the time, once our ministry crossed a certain income line, which it did quite a few years ago on the annual income, well, all of the reporting procedures are different. Once you cross that line, you got to file forms and stuff that you never had to file before. And so I started getting notices years ago from the IRS. Now, we never owed them any taxes, okay? It wasn't like that. But they're sending me a letter. Why haven't you sent in form Zama, 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 Zama? And I would fax that to that lady, and I'd go, how come we haven't sent form Zama, 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 Zama? She says, because you don't need to send in Zama, Zama. You know, she's going, no, they've got you confused with another kind of ministry or something. Well, this went on for a long time, several years. And now I know, I didn't know it then, but now I know she had never, even though she had lots of experience with small ministries, she had never dealt with one that had a budget go across that line. So she just wasn't familiar. Sure enough, we were supposed to send in form Zama, 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 Zama. Well, after a few years of that, the IRS had enough, and they sent me a nicest little letter. They said, now, you know, even though you've never owed any taxes, you were required to send in this form, and you have not done it. Even after our repeated letters, you have not done it. So we're going to charge you a penalty from that day 4 years ago, or however long it was ago, and interest on that penalty, plus every time you've failed to file that report since. And so we've totaled it all up. Please send in $72,000. $72,000. Say that. Look, turn to somebody. Go, $72,000. I never owed a dime in taxes. It's not that. But the proper forms were not being filed. So I called the lady, and be honest with you, she just really didn't have any answers. So I had to make swift action. I hired another accounting firm, a big one, from Dallas, you know, somebody that the IRS recognizes. And it took 2 years. And now, we never did have to pay the $72,000. All the IRS really wanted was for us to straighten up. They wanted the forms, and they wanted us reporting it right. But I have to tell you, it took about 2 years, letter after letter, and I had to pay this other accounting firm about $2,000 that I wouldn't have had to pay otherwise, just to get that all straightened out. Now, let me just ask you guys, the next time my wife says don't hire that person, what do you think? I'm not even asking why. I'm going, I'm not hiring that person. I'm telling you why, because Sue said not to. That's all I need to know. You got to have some confidence. Your wife can hear God too now. And sometimes they can hear. I mean, I can hear God in certain areas real well, so can she. But she's always had that ability to discern things like that better than me. And I need to recognize and honor the giftings that are in my wife. These trips are not just about me. She's on these trips too, serving the Lord, doing her best. I mean, it's a lot of work for these women too. I'm telling you, you know, I get in the shower 15 minutes, I'm ready to go preach. Dear Lord, I hate to watch all the stuff that woman has to go through, meeting after meeting after meeting, you know, and the hair and the, my arms would, I don't know how she doesn't have arms this big, you know, so long up there with the curling iron and all the things that a woman has to do. I'm surprised you don't have big, you know. It's really work. And then on the way home, I'm not going to honor her and stop and see. I'm just telling you young men, I'm telling you now, your wife is just, if you're married and you're in ministry, in God's sight, that is one ministry with two manifestations. Husband and wife, there's no such thing as one being in ministry and the other one not. Now, one may be the only one speaking. One may be the only one, you know, I don't know whether Hazel can sing or not. She probably can. I don't know. No, she's shaking her head no. That's not what she does. But I watch what that woman, I'm telling you what now. She saved us enough money on, you know, they was falling behind us in their pickup, you know. And that woman, she can get online. She can get a motel room. She has squeezed that buffalo on that nickel. It's crying out for help. I mean, she got them down about half. And they're going, you okay? Yes, you can have the sweet for, you know, that. And I'm going, glory to God, you know. That woman's got gifts and talents, I'm telling you. I don't know why he's having me do it. It's important, though. See, I look at these youngsters over here, these young people. I know they're, you know, one day you're going to be out there. You're going to be in ministry. And I don't know what you're thinking, you know. Yes, giant coliseums filled with people and, yes, you know, and all of the glory and the honor. Oh, yeah. You go to Korea, and I don't care how well your wife gets all your clothes fixed and ironed and everything just right. And by the time that suitcase gets thrown around 14 ways and you get to Korea, your first day of ministry, about 6 hours of ironing. And that's a good time to pray in tongues. Yeah, so I prayed and fasted so I can come over here and iron. Sought the Lord, iron, you know, and fill it up with water again, steam. Yes. Yes. Want to whet your appetite, go to John 12. Now, I'll tell you what he had me teach, and I think it may be a series. Bronk wants me to teach it when I go down there. We're leaving for there in about a week. And I'm going to wait to see if it's still in, you know, you know me, I'll wait 3 years if I need to until it comes to make sure that it's mature. But I'll tell you what it is. It's like the Golden Man. How many of you remember the Golden Man series? It's like the Golden Man on steroids. It really is. The reality of this is coming in such a way. The purpose of God and what God's overall plan is and where we are in it. And I'm telling you, we are not who religion tells you you are. You are not who you think you are. What he has really done for us is so much bigger than any of us have really grasped. Got glimpses of it. Jesus told us plainly. See, you know, we're on a quest here for revival. The day is going to come now. We're going to empty that hospital. We are going to empty that children. I like how Alan says it. You know we're going to change the world, right? I believe that with all my heart. Jesus plainly said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And like Dave said, you know, Jesus, we're not arguing with you. We agree with you. But it seems like the knowledge of that verse, the journey from the knowledge to the actual performing of it, almost seems to be longer than our lifetimes, you know. Not very many people make it over there. Now, years ago, I saw the first glimpses of this. I saw it at John 12, where Jesus talks about being the seed. Those of you that were coming to the Calling in the Lost services, and I talked about made in God's image. Y'all remember that? We went back to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, I think it is. And three times, when the Holy Ghost repeats himself three times in two verses, it's important, he's trying to get something across. Three times in two verses, they're consecutive verses, he says, God made man in the image of God. Hebrews 1:3 tells you the definition of the image of God. Jesus is the express image of his person. So that vision that the Lord gave me years ago, where I saw that, y'all know that God made the body out of the dust of the ground. So here's that lifeless body. And then says God breathed into Adam the breath of life, you know, and he became a living soul. But in a vision one time, I saw it was the second member of the Godhead. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. It was, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was nothing made without the Word. No, not one single thing. Well, I saw it in a vision form that, I mean, I know God is one. We know that, right? There's only one God. Yet he presents himself to us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but it's only one God. Again, if we get to thinking about that too much, our brain starts leaking right out of our left ear. We just have to receive that by faith. But I saw in the vision, I saw it was the pre-incarnate Christ. It's the Jesus that later would manifest, the pre-incarnate Word. He was the one holding that lifeless body. And when it says God breathed into Adam the breath of life, I saw him. It was Jesus, pre-incarnate. He just bent over. It wasn't oxygen he was breathing into him. that very nature of God. Let's say it this way, the nature of the Son, what we would call the new nature, that was the original nature breathed into Adam. Then, Luke 3:38, you don't have to turn there either, where it gives that genealogy of Joseph, and it goes all the way back. Joseph was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, and it goes all the way back, not only to Abraham, it goes all the way back, and Adam, who was the son of God. Now, Adam was not a god. He was not God. But God was making man in the image of God. That was his original plan. God is not a quitter. You know, when man sinned, his nature changed. He was no longer spiritually made in that image, and he got all twisted with a different nature. That's why forgiveness alone was not enough. You know, the theology says, God, couldn't you just forgive him? Well, God did forgive him. He killed an animal, you remember, and he clothed him with the skin of that animal. What's that a type of? That's looking for the day that the Lamb would come and die on that cross. And the whole human race was in the loins of Adam when he put that bloody skin, clothed them in that skin. But God's looking at them. They're all twisted and perverted in their spirit now. They're sinful. They're not made in the image of God anymore. And he says, yeah, I'm going to forgive you. The Lamb is coming. But we got a lot bigger problem than that. I don't want to forgive you and leave you like this. I want you back the way I originally made you. I want you not only forgiven, but reformed back into the original image. And that image, in the image of God, made he them. In God's image. And that image is Christ. Well, we're living in the dispensation where in your spirit, that is exactly what has happened. When you were born again, what man could not do, the leopard can't change his spots and man cannot change his nature. But what man could not do, God did for us free by grace. There's no way you can earn it. No way you can be good enough. The only way you can receive it is by faith through his grace. And we receive that. If you're born again in your spirit, you remember when Jesus, after he was resurrected, he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and he breathed on them. Is that not a perfect picture of back in the garden when he breathed on Adam and Adam became a living soul? That's when that new nature first was released back into the earth and where man could be regenerated again. See, there's more than that. You've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But we're just talking about the regeneration. Where we are right now, see, God is no quitter. He is going to exactly have what he originally intended. This earth is not going to be the earth. The day's going to come, he's going to take this earth like a crumbled up piece of paper and throw it away. It says even the elements are going to disappear. They're going to, really, that word there is best translated, deatomize. They're going to come apart, everything, even the elements, the zinc and the manganese and the iron, even the elements are going to dissolve with a loud noise and a fervent heat. And God, see, man wasn't, here's another thing. In our generation, because we're harvest-minded and we're supposed to be harvest-minded, we're always thinking about getting people, getting them into heaven. And we should think like that. But originally, if you think about it, man was never designed for heaven. Man was designed for earth. God's going to crumble this one away. It's too perverted. It's been too twisted. This one's gone. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. This is after the millennial reign and then after the devil's throne and after the judgment. But God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And the only people that's going to, the only thing from here to there that's going to make that journey is the spirits of people that got born again. You're going to get a new body that's going to function correctly in that earth. I'm looking forward to that one. A glorified body. But see, right now, where we are right now, we're at a stage in God's plan. And this is exactly what Jim taught Sunday morning. He says, we've all been trying to live by faith of Hebrews 11. Well, Hebrews 11 for years was my favorite chapter in the Bible. Are you kidding? It's got all my heroes in it. Noah, Abraham, Moses, by faith this, by faith that, King David. Women too. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. You know, and the Rahab and on. I mean, I love, that was my favorite chapter. But right near the end of it, I think it's verse 38 or so, he says, these all. See, I knew Paul was from the south. These all. Anyway. Sorry. These all, having received a good report through faith, they received not the promise. God having some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then he goes into Hebrews 12 and he says, for us, now we can learn from Abraham and Noah and Moses. We can learn from them. But you got to understand the faith they were operating by, none of them were born again. They had that twisted nature. They operated by, let's say, Hebrews 11 faith. But for us, it says we're not supposed to really look to them as our pattern. Now we can learn from them. Who are we supposed to look to? Looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he is the pattern for the stage of God's redemption plan that we're in. We watch him walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spiritually alive on the inside. Are you? Spiritually alive on the inside? Yet he's clothed in mortal flesh. His spirit was spawned by God, but his flesh, he got that from Mary. It goes all the way back to Adam. So he's clothed in the same kind of sinful flesh that we are. Yet without sin, what does that tell you? The new nature alone is enough to keep you from sinning. Has Dave been teaching us that or not been teaching us that? Yes. But here's the pattern for new creatures. We got the life of God on the inside, clothed in fallen mortal flesh on the outside. Boy, it'd be really nice though, because he had dominion. He had power by the Holy Ghost. Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave town. You shall receive power, not many days hence, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So we're looking at the pattern. Jesus, alive in his spirit, clothed in mortal flesh, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I think that's the pattern for our dispensation. And what are we supposed to do with it? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Man, it's all right there for us. We are right there. That is who you are. Now, the problem we have, I'm telling you, Hebrews 12 faith is a lot harder than Hebrews 11 faith. I'll tell you why. Hebrews 12 faith, you have to believe what God says about you in spite of your ugly self. Can I say it that way? See, the real problem, we're so intimately acquainted with our own failures, our own thoughts, the stuff that we didn't do that we thought about doing. Hey, I got a big help. I got a big help. Y'all know Billy Graham. Everybody loves Billy Graham. I do. I mean, never any scandal in his ministry, you know, all these years, money, sex, nothing. They were interviewing his wife. Isn't her name Ruth? I think it's Ruth. They were interviewing Ruth the other day, and they were asking her, and they said, now, in all these years, Mrs. Graham, did you ever think about divorce? She said, divorce? No. Murder? Yes. Doesn't that tell you volumes? We're all people. Marriage is hard. I don't care who you are. You got to work at it. It's hard, you know. But it also gives me great hope. I said, dear God, we're all... We are, God uses us in spite of all that stuff, and we are who God says we are in spite of ourselves. Oh, the other question they asked her, now, they said, now, does God answer all your prayers? She said, oh, Lord, no. If he would have answered all my prayers, I would have married the wrong guy 3 times before I met Billy. God is good. Now, if you haven't found John 12 by now, you thought I forgot, didn't you? John 12. This is really just a teaser. 12:23. Jesus answered them and saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now look up here at me. Right across the street from Jim Martin's church are these cornfields. I've been there. Right now they've got them all plowed and planted and not very much is coming up out of the ground yet, but I've also been there in harvest time, and I've seen those fields where, I mean, you could walk out there and you would disappear because the corn is way taller than you are. You know, and you plant that corn, it's a little yellow kernel, about, you know, kind of pale yellow, quarter inch square. You plant that thing in the ground, and if you've never done it before, the first thing that comes up out of the ground is grain. It's not yellow. And first you wonder if you did something wrong. Anyone ever? Anyway. But see, Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There is a maturing process, people. We have been going through this maturing process for years. But the day comes when you go out there, it's harvest time. You take off one of them big old ears. You shuck that thing and peel it back. And if you've never seen one before, what you're going to see? You're not going to find one little kernel, one little seed in there. You're going to see row after row after row of those little kernel seeds. And here's the amazing thing. Every one of those seeds can do exactly what the original did. How simple is that? How simple. That is exactly his plan. That we be conformed to the image of his Son. God's about ready to shuck a few ears. And I'm telling you, when he shucks them, he's going to find some image, some seeds that has matured to the point. Image of his Son, image of his Son, image of his Son. And when we go forward, we'll have the same motivations, the same heart desires, the same anointing of the Holy Ghost. We'll walk like him, talk like him, and have the same results that he had. And that's exactly God's plan for our generation. Glory to God. Glory to God. No wonder he's had us here maturing and maturing and maturing. First the blade. When they asked Smith Wigglesworth, he was called the apostle of faith in his generation. And people would ask him, what's the secret to this faith that you live by? What is the secret? He always gave the same answer. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, you've got to give God enough time to mature you. You have got to allow that maturing process. You try and live off of stalks, you're not going to make it. You go out there and you start harvesting that corn when it's just the blade. There's not enough nutrition. You've got to allow the maturing. First the blade, then the ear, then the full. I'm looking at some pretty mature corn. I think God's going to start shucking you. Going to start peeling. I think you're ready. I think you're ready. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what's coming. I am excited about what's coming. I'm not. Can y'all tell I'm not burning out? I'm burning in. I don't care. I don't. I really don't care. I don't care if we wind up meeting over here in this cow pasture. I don't care if there's six of us over there. I want to keep praying, keep confessing, keep believing. We're going to have the revival that God sent us here to have. And Tulsa is saved. In Jesus' name I declare. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, I know this was kind of a family night. Father, we thank you for being able to share these things with those of like mind and like soul. Father, we're so grateful to be at a church where we even found out there is a maturing process and found out how to operate it. Lord, at least we have our shot. And if we don't do it, it's our fault, not yours. That's for sure. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the endurance that you said in that very first service. Endurance is the key. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing. Yes, sir. Now, if you haven't already noticed this, the enemy is trying to wear people out through finances, through disappointment, through disillusionment, through offense, through... I mean, anything, and I've never seen the lack of assault that I see right now. But listen, don't let the enemy run you off. Don't let him run you off. He's got both guns blazing and seem like every devil in hell right now trying to run you off. Well, don't let him. Man, we ain't even started to see the goodness of God. Richard was being very honest with family, talking about... One of the areas that he struggled most in is fasting. Y'all know that's true about me too. The other one, for me, I'm real strong on prayer. I'm real strong in the word. I'm strong on assimilation. I'm strong on those things. Fairly weak on fasting. The other one that I've been weak on is worship. I got my instructions like Richard got his. I'm going to have to, for my soul to be able to, the way he put it to me, it's almost like for my soul to be able to bear the cross, whatever it is that he's called me. I saw a picture of, was the guy named Simon that carried the cross? I saw a picture of Gary. And he says, your soul won't bear it yet. Worship, he said. Not just worship, but that for me. Now, I don't know what he's telling you. But whatever it is, when you pray, whatever it is that he's dealing you with. In fact, he's offering his strength right now to help you. I don't normally, y'all know I don't do this very much. Richard said, I knew exactly what he was talking about. You do too. Yes, sir. I'm not looking at anybody. Some of you, it's in to do with giving. You're still too much afraid and too much control. Some of you, it has to do with giving. Some of you, it has to do with worship. Some, it has to do with fasting. Some, it has to do with something else. But really, you and the Lord already know what it is. He's offering his help tonight. It's not me, it's him. We're going to have a little prayer line here. I can't give you nothing. But I hear him saying he's going to impart something to you that's going to help you just enough to get over the hump. Does that make sense to you?